Amen. Good morning, Grace. I was a little surprised. You know, we had some cheering for Bible studies and stuff like that, but nobody cheered for the study of the book of Nahum. So, did you even know that there was a book of Nahum in the Bible? Now, don't answer. Don't even answer. All right. So, but that's exactly why we're doing it. So, if you're free on Tuesday mornings at 10, we'd love to have you. You know, just to dive in. I've never deeply studied the book of Nahum, and so I'm excited about that. So before we dive into the word, so this morning is an anniversary. And it's not one of those good anniversaries, right? So it is, in fact, September 11th, 21 years ago on this date, there were terrorist attacks in New York City and Washington, D.C., and you know, some of you in this room, some of us, I should say, because I also did, we knew people. We knew people, whether there were firefighters who died, whether there were people in the buildings who died. And if you don't know somebody personally, if you didn't know somebody personally, you might know somebody who knows somebody personally. You know, my kids went to school with the McCabes. I mean, Joshua and Andrew had both the youngest ones in their class. And if you don't know the name, you don't need to worry about that, but some of the church who've been here for a long time do. And, you know, so there's continuing effects. And then not only that, but, you know, there's disease and illness that have kind of kept going because of 9/11. And I remember when the buildings collapsed and just thinking, like, breathing. I don't even know how people are doing that, you know. So it's just, you know, 21 years, right? So we have people here in this room who were not born 21 years ago. We have people who were very young and really don't remember it. And if you're like me, you know exactly where you were at the moment that somebody told you. I was actually pastoring a church up in Clinton Corners, New York, and secretary came into my office and said that a plane had flown into a building. And it was interesting because trying to be optimistic, I was like, well, that's okay. It was probably an accident. You remember, because a long, long time ago, a small plane flew into the Empire State Building. But it was pretty quickly known that it wasn't that. It wasn't an accident. There was terrorist attacks happening. And even, you know, three planes flew into buildings. A fourth was going to. That was the plan. And yet, for some people who took it upon themselves to bravely march into death, and they knew that that was exactly what was going to happen in order to save other people. And it just is a reminder, you know, those of us, you know, we know the Lord, right? We're going to celebrate communion a little bit later. And so we recognize that that sacrifice has been made for us. And there are times when people make sacrifices for others, maybe even the ultimate sacrifice. And so we just need to keep remembering that. We need to keep supporting those. Some of you know some people still, right? And it's really easy because our lives have moved on. But others haven't. So I'm going to take a moment, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to dive into his word, okay? Father God, I love you. Again, not an anniversary we like remembering or celebrating or however we would say that, but Lord, it is one where we recognize, Lord, that many died on that day running into a building, not running out of a building. Many died in that day choosing death so that they might save others. And Father, still some today who were there continuing effects. And so we just pray, Lord, obviously a significant event in our country, one that marks time. I just pray that you would be with those who still suffer. I pray that you would be with those who lost loved ones, who continue today in that. And Lord, I just ask that you would help us to continue to be the light, even to those people, if we have that opportunity to intersect and interact with their lives. Lord, may you just show yourself as real to all of them. and even still in control on that chaotic day, you were still in control. And so I thank you for that. You're still on the throne, and you always are. And so, Lord, I give you praise for that. And I do pray now that as we enter into your word, that you would be with us and among us, Lord, guide our time, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you. Appreciate, you know, that. I was out at the base this morning. I did a service, and then we did a 9/11 memorial. You know, we're not often out there on a weekend, you know, on the drill weekend when we get to do that, so it was good. You know, and it's interesting because we're in the midst of this, we're in the midst of this prayer, right? This season of prayer. We're halfway through today, our 28 days of prayer. And last week we talked about that idea, if we can say it that way, of peace, that idea of glorious peace in our lives, and that it only comes when we really live out the three B's of peace that we talked about last week, right? That we be unified, that we choose unity to be of one mind, that we be joyful, and that we be prayerful. And what we mean by prayerful is we don't mean some religious prayer. We don't mean, you know, necessarily bowing your heads and folding your hands and doing that, although that's a great thing at times because it takes away distraction. Right? You can't pick up your phone if you're clasping your hands. It's not a bad thing. You know, but where you give it over to God. And that was one of those days 21 years ago, right? Where, like, everything was coming apart, literally. We didn't know what was going to happen. Within 3 hours, every plane over the United States was landed, something like that, 3-4 hours. A lot of chaos, a lot of lack of peace. Matter of fact, the biggest prayer meeting that I've ever had, percentage-wise of the church, happened 9/11, 2001, as people came out. And it was amazing. You know, we had people in church the next week. We were crowded. Week after that, decent attendance. The week after that, it dwindled. The week after that, it dwindled more. And probably within 2 months, 3 months at the most, it was kind of all gone. That urgency of, I don't really know what's happening and I don't really know how to control. And what people did is they began to take control back, you know. And so that's what happened. And so so we have this idea, right? So we can't worry, we can't be anxious for anything, he says, right? He says to stop worrying about it all. He says, matter of fact, be joyful in it, right? We just talked about that. Be joyful. Be not anxious. Be not worrying. And he says, for nothing. But I know what you want to say is, my mind doesn't work that way, right? It doesn't. It's hard. Our minds don't work in this way where we can just not think. Right? You have an amazing machine up here that God created. Do you realize that inside your skull right now is more information stored in your brain than stored in the Library of Congress? All 17 million volumes? All that in your brain. Not so bad for something that only weighs 3 pounds, all right? And yet God created this amazing ability to take in. And the problem with that is that we take in and we remember and we think and we dwell and we worry and we do that. And so last week we talked about the fact that we're not to do that anymore. We're not to do that. We're to empty out of ourselves the worry. We're to give it over to him. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, he says, and I'll give you rest. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, what happens next? And that's what we want to talk about today. So, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to open up to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And let's talk about what's on your mind today a little bit. All right, like I said, we have this amazing processor that God has given to us. But you realize, right, that the enemy doesn't wants to be a controller, if we can say it that way, of what you process, of what you think about, of what goes on and goes through your mind. And so we talked last week, like I just said, about the fact that we've got to empty that. We've got to give that over to Jesus. And like I said, if you read our devotion this morning, you know, the mind, the world tells you, just clear your mind, right? We're into this meditation thing and just empty your mind of everything. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. There is a problem if you stay in that state, because nobody stays in that state. So it's not just about emptying it out. Yes, I need to get rid of my worry, give it over to Jesus, and give it to him. But then something else needs to happen, because if I just empty, something's coming in and filling. It always does. It always does. Please hear that. You just can't say, all right, I'm just not going to worry about it any longer, and I'm just going to give it to God, and I'm going to think about nothing. Men, I know you want to think about nothing. Right? Right? We're really good at thinking about nothing at times, right? But the reality is, God has not given us a processor like that. And so the question is, what's going to fill after you give over to Jesus? What's going to fill after you've taken that time where you come before God and you lay it all before his throne and you say, Lord, this is yours. It's not mine. I can't handle it. I can't do anything about it. I can't make it happen. I could want it to happen. I could wish it to happen. I could desire it to happen. I could try to put things in place, right? And as I said at the base, because you know we have several people on the base who are in our service this morning have very young kids. And I said, you know, you think, oh, I'm going to raise my kids and they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And then the problem is they grow up. Brittany and Steve, your kid will grow up. And then they decide, they have this mind of their own. And like, you're like, we're leaving at 9 o'clock for church. And what happens? Anybody know what happens? Right? There are Sundays that you're standing at the bottom of the stairs or you're standing outside going, I'm leaving for church. Where are you? Remember that let your gentleness be known to all men thing? Whew, right out the window. Why? Because they block our goals, those little devils. Those little beautiful children who are innocent as anything, right? Those little devils. Right? They have their own mind. They do their own thing. They want their own way. And God created them different than us. But they block our goal, and we get frustrated, and boom, we're into the races of what we talked about last week. All right? So I've got to give this over to God. I can't control it. I give it to a God who can do something about it. And then what do I do? And this is what Paul does. He says, you've got to fill your mind, because if you don't fill your mind, other things will. If you just think, well, I gave it to God, I'm not going to worry about it anymore. I'm just not going to think about it. I'm not going to think about it. Your mind doesn't work that way. You've got to fill your mind with something. And that's what Paul says. I mean, I love this. I love this passage or this passages of Scripture. Really, it's 3 weeks. Last week, this week, and next week. All together. Imagine that. Scripture just being unified and going someplace and having a direction. Wow. Right? So I love where he goes. So he says, you got to give it over to God. You got to give that. But then you've got to fill that void. And he tells us that we have to fill that void with excellent thoughts. Look at what he says. Chapter 4, verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, and I love this word in the NASB, dwell on these things. That's what it means. Dwell on these things. You know what dwell means, right? To dwell means to live. Right? So you have a dwelling that you live in. Right? It means to take up residence there, to spend time there, to not just kind of visit. So he's not saying, you know, think of these things, that anything that is true or honorable, right, pure, all those things. You know, he's not saying, well, just kind of visit that area for a little bit. No, you need to dwell there. You need to dwell there. We're reminded, right? If we're going to give ourselves over to Jesus, and so all of this is connected. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service worship, right? So it's a great verse, right? So I want to give myself to Jesus. God, I'm worrying, I'm struggling, I'm having problems, I can't control it. God, you know, like the guy last week we talked about, the YMCA, I resigned from being director of the universe. I can't control it all. And God says, okay, great, about time, right? So I just give myself over to you. God, I want to put it all in there. But then look at what the next verse says. The next verse in verse 2 says, flip that please, thank you. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Ah, the mind. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. You want to know what God's will is? Well, we need a change of mind. We need a change of thinking. We've got to begin to think on the things of God. You can't think on the things of the world and think that you're going to get it. You know, the old saying, garbage in, garbage out, is true. No, please down. Gary, thank you. So it's true. What you put in is what you're going to get out. And I know we say, well, it doesn't really work that way. You know, I'm not thinking about anything. Right, so that's the problem. The problem in our lives is not that there's chaos around us. That's not the problem in our lives for us. The problem of peace in our lives is not that there's chaos around us. Because you notice even in the verses last week, God doesn't promise always to take away the chaos. He promises you to be with you and to give you peace in the chaos. That's a different thing. It's a different thing. And so so he says, listen, give it over to God, but then you've got to fill it with the things of God. You've got to fill it with the things that are of Jesus. And what is really interesting to me is that we end up filling it with all kinds of stuff. And you know, I get we don't even hardly watch TV anymore. Like some of you don't ever watch the television, what I mean. I mean, you watch your devices, right? You have Hulu on your devices. You have all kinds of, you know, all kinds of things, and everybody is in their own little. We don't even watch movies together anymore, right? We don't even watch TV shows hardly together anymore. We separate into different rooms and we do our own thing, and we watch all kinds of stuff. And you remember? I mean, I'm old enough to remember what people used to say. Well, I'm just, you know, I just don't want to think about anything, and so I just. Television, and I just want to watch something and not think about anything. I love what David Frost said. If you're old enough, you know who he is, right? Reporter. He said, television is an invention that permits you to be entertained in your living room by people you wouldn't have in your house. That's what happens, right? We invite into our homes people that we wouldn't invite into our homes. And in the attitude of, well, I just don't want to think about anything, we intake all this junk. Do you think it doesn't affect you? Church, do you think? Why is the church struggling so hard with so many issues? Is because we've allowed inputs into our lives without filter, without anything. And we say, well, it's just entertainment. You know, it's only entertainment. It doesn't matter. Listen. The entertainment business is one of Satan's biggest tools. And I remember, I think I told you this a few weeks ago, even in here, and I don't remember who said it, but they said, if they can make you laugh at it, they can make you accept it. And we laugh at things, all kinds of things which are unacceptable to God. All kinds of things that would put us in a place that is not in a place of Jesus, not in a place before God, not in a place of thinking of what is good and right and all those things. And we think it doesn't affect me. Jamie Rouse, was a student who on November 15th, 1995, walked in to his Linville, Tennessee high school carrying a .22 caliber rifle and killed a teacher and a student. And this is what he said about what he listened to and what he watched. He said, "I used to think this ain't affecting me. You'd have to be weak-minded to let this stuff affect you." And the whole time it was affecting me. How could it not? How could you not, you know, what we watch, what we listen to, the music that we listen to. I don't know, have you heard the music that kids listen to today? I remember I was in high school, well, maybe I was out of high school. And I was with a friend and a song came on the radio and a girl said, "Why? I just love this song. I want this song played at my wedding." And I'm like, and you know, I just happened to be at that. I knew the song and I do listen to words and words are a big thing to me. And I forget the song. I don't remember the song, but I said, have you listened to that song? The love they're talking about is about the cheating person that found different love while they're, you know. I'm like, what is wrong with you? And they're like, "Oh, thanks for ruining the song for me." Because then they listen to it. How many times do you play the TV in your background while you're at home and you think it's not affecting you? It's thinking, you know, there's an old song now, like Casting Crowns. You know, what if his people prayed? And I think it's in that song. And there's a line that says, you know, what if we actually went to God and stopped going to Oprah? Stop listening to all these people on the television who have these shows. I mean, like, really? Like, we're getting our wisdom from people who don't honor Jesus. And I'm not, listen, if you know me, you know, I don't think everything that isn't of Christ is horrible. You know, I don't think that a song, you know, if it doesn't mention Jesus in the song, it's horrible. Don't ever listen to that. television shows, but I'm just talking about that, how unfiltered we are in our lives without even, we just walk into stuff without evaluating it. I tell you, when you do evaluate is when you have kids. You begin to, anyway. Although a lot of people in the world don't. I'm amazed at what they let their kids watch, let the kids listen to, and how they talk around them. But I remember going back, and Danielle and I, as a matter of fact, when I first came here, so I came here 13 years ago now, or 13 years ago now, and there was a movie called All of Me. I think it was called All of Me, I think. Maybe it wasn't All of Me. I don't know. It was with Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin, and it was this thing about how like, again, it's not Christian, right? But he, you know, her spirit goes into this bowl, and she's going to go into this younger person and be able to live, and goes into Steve Martin. And there's this amazing scene where half the body is hers and half the body is his. And I mean, genius, comedic genius Steve Martin is. And I'm like, man, I'm going to show it in church. You know, because that was the point about what affects us and, you know, what owns us. And, you know, there's, you know, the devil and God and all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, I took like a week to find the movie, you know, the DVD on it. It took forever. And I got it and I watched the scene and I couldn't believe the language that was in there. And I went, "I didn't remember that." And guess what? I didn't show it in church. Yeah, good move. Every once in a while, I get it. So what does God say? God's word says, instead of filling yourselves with junk, he says, fill yourselves with that is which is true. I like that word in the Greek. It means not concealing. Not concealing. You know, has the sense of valid, reliable, honest. It's the opposite of false. It's the opposite of lies. It's the opposite of hiding. It characterizes God and should also characterize Christians, right? That there's no shadow of us. God's word says, don't even hint at, you know, evil. Don't even hint at it. Like, why would we joke about it? Coarse joking about the things that hurts God's heart. He says, Let's think about the things that are true. He says, not only that, but honorable. That refers to what is dignified or worthy of respect, a quality that is worthy of respect, that which is honorable before God. And it is one of those things where, you know, me as a pastor or you, you know, like, would you show your mother-in-law this or, you know, kind of thing. Honorable. If you knew Jesus was in the room, would you honor him by watching or listening or sounding that? You know that he is, right? You know that he's with you all times. It says true, honorable, right. That right is a little different than true. It means that refers to what is upright or just, conforming to God's standard and thus worthy of his approval. Again, it's that thing of, would God approve of what you're watching or what you're listening to? Would God be comfortable? If God were visiting in your home today, or if you were entertaining angels, is that how you would entertain them? True, honorable, right. He says we should think on the things which are pure. In the Greek, it means clean or innocent, wholesome, not mixed with moral impurity. Not even mixed with it. Why? Because a little bit of leaven leavens the whole dough, Jesus said. Be careful of the Pharisees. Even a little bit tends to ruin it all. You know, if you've ever heard the illustration, right? Well, you make a cake and everything is good and all the ingredients are good except you crack an egg and it smells bad and you dump it in. Would you keep it in? Would you keep making it? I hope not. Don't serve that to me if I come over. Right? That which is pure, not mixed with moral impurity. He says, not only that which is pure, but that which is lovely. Refers to what is pleasing or agreeable or amiable, promotes peace rather than conflict. And then he says, that which is of good repute. And that, another version says, admirable, denotes that which is praiseworthy, attractive, and what rings true to the highest standard. I like it because he says, if there is, which is a rhetorical question, right? But he says, if there is anything excellent or anything worthy of praise, anything that's true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, those are some good words, aren't they? Those are some good words. Anything excellent, anything that's worthy of praise, he says, dwell on these things. He says, live in those things. He said, don't visit them. Don't, like, pay a visit, you know, and then go back home to your house, which is that. He says, you dwell there. You dwell in that place. And on those things. Why? Because if you don't, something else will dwell there. Something always, always, always takes up residence. And it starts in your mind. And you say, well, but I don't really, right? What does Jesus say? We talked about it a few weeks ago. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Might not be there now, but that which captures this will ultimately have this. I promise you. You've seen it, you know it. All right? Psalm 19:14 says this. It's the psalmist praying, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You know, that's one of those verses that maybe we should post someplace. Maybe we should post that on our televisions. You know, you could have your television give you a message now, smart TVs. Maybe that should be the message. I just thought about that. I think that's cool. I do. I think that's cool. But I've had things on my computer that pop up or on my phone that pops up. You know, that God protect my eyes, make sure my eyes are good. Well, it's not just your eyes that are the problem. It's your hearing. It's your conversation, right? God, may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart, that which captures me, that which is wrangling around in my head, may they be acceptable to you, Lord. May they be acceptable to you, my God. I like what Philip Henry said, the old commentator. He said this, he said, a garment that is double dyed, dipped again and again, will retain color a great while. So a truth, which is the subject of meditation. That which you dwell on, and if you dwell on it over and over and over again, it will not go away easy. So that when the moment captures you, you go to the memory bank. That's what you do. You're like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what to think. What do I do? Boom. Oh wait, God. If what you've put in is God and what you've dwelt on is God and the things that are honorable and good, that's what's going to come out. I like to say, and don't answer, I don't want anybody to answer, right? But I've said this to my Bible study on Tuesday mornings a lot. What do you get when you squeeze an orange? And the quick answer is you get orange juice, right? No. You get whatever's inside. And so if that orange is rotten, you get rotten. If that orange has pits, you get pits or seeds. If that has pulp, you get pulp. You know, what do you get when you squeeze a Christian? Well, you get Jesus. Do you really? You get whatever's inside. That's what you get. So what you put in is what you're going to get out. Not only that, all right, back to Philippians chapter 4. He says, not only do I need excellent thoughts, but then I need excellent practice. I need excellent practice. Look what he says. He says, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And then look at what he says. And the God of peace will be with you. Oh, see, it's all connected. That which you have seen, learned, and received, and heard, and seen in me, practice these things. See, when we put them in, we got to then let them come out. And the more we put in, the more they'll come out. Okay? But it's still true. Garbage in, garbage out. And so you're going to get what's there. It's what you're going to get. When you're squeezed, when a Christian is squeezed, you're going to get what comes out. And so the challenge from Paul then is to live out what you believe. Live out what you say to people in those moments of goodness. You know, too often, myself included, too often, I've got to get into the zone to share Jesus with somebody. Like I go, okay, now I'm going to share Jesus with them. Do you realize that you're sharing Jesus with people all the time? All the time. And the question is, when you get the opportunity to speak, is that going to match your practice? And they're going to say, you've lived that. And I've been able to say to people, sometimes I've had to apologize to people, but I have been able to say to people, and I don't think it's bad to do that, to say, have you watched me? Am I real about my faith? You know, as the old saying goes, another old saying, practice makes perfect. And I played sports growing up. And the coach used to always tell us, what you practice, you will play. If you give half effort here, you can't think that you're going to be able to do it there. Get in the game. So he says, what you've learned, what you've received, what you've heard, what you've seen in me, practice these things. Get this, to learn and receive is an action that's dependent upon the student, not the teacher. Not everybody who sits in a class is a student. Not everybody that sits in a church, even though saved, is a student of Jesus, is a disciple or one who wants to grow in Christ. Well, I'm a follower of Jesus, so that makes me a disciple. I sit in a class, so that makes me a student. Well, yes, by definition, but are you interacting? And again, it's not just interacting in this place. It's interacting out there in what you do. So, listen, it's not based on feelings. Please understand that. It's not based on feelings. It's not based on how you feel today, but rather what you choose today to do and to live out. There's no doubt that we allow our emotions to get the best of us. That's why we don't let our gentleness be known to all men in those moments of chaos and craziness, right? But peace comes, and the God of peace comes when we give ourselves over to him, not just our problems, but everything. So what I love about that last line, and the God of peace will be with you, what that says to me is that's that ongoing peace that is continuing to be with you. Why? Because God is near. Because he's with us. He hasn't left us nor forsaken us. Because what I've continued to put in is God. And then when chaos strikes, and it will, if you're not in chaos now, you're going to be in chaos soon. Good news, right? But that's just true. Life's going to happen. Life's going to happen. And some of it's going to be horrific. For some of us here, it's going to be horrific in the future. There are some people in our congregation or amongst our congregation who are going through some pretty bad times right now, struggling physically, struggling emotionally, struggling in relationships. So what do? You continue to put God in. And then you continue to walk in that every day, every moment of your life, of what you're doing and who you are. A guy named Mike Belchi. So I like good yard, good lawns. I don't spend a lot of time on it. I should more. But I like them a lot. Like a lot. And I want a nice piece of grass, right? I mean, it's just what it is. I have grass envy of people. You know, I look at their lawns, lawn envy, I should say. But he says this. He says, in some parts of the lawn, the grass is thick and green. In other parts, it's sparse and dry. And even a few where there's grass missing. I think the guy lived on Long Island. Because I don't care. I mean, like, it's crazy. My water works right. I fertilize. I get somebody come in and do, it's great. He said, when I mow the lawn, I notice that where the grass is healthy, there are little to no weeds. Where the grass is sparse, there's more weeds. And where there's no grass, the weeds flourish. He says, every time I notice the weedy spots, I think I really need to pull those things up. And so I do. But within a few weeks, they're back and I'm pulling them up again. And one day it hit me. He said, I don't have to pull weeds where the grass is thick. Instead of spending time pulling my weeds, maybe I need to invest time making the grass as healthy as possible. The more grass I had, the fewer the weeds I pull. I have a guy who comes in, and he has told me several times, in my sparse area, we got to plant some grass there. We got to lovingly nourish that grass because that's the place where the weeds are. You don't like that? Then your grass has to be healthy. You know, same true for the Christian. If you're full and thick of Jesus, not that no weeds will be there, but fewer will be there. If it's sparse, there'll be some more, and if it's empty, it will be loaded. It will be loaded. And so it's time to start dwelling on the things of God. It's time to start allowing those things that are of him to own us, to be where we dwell, to maybe put down the computer, to maybe, you know what, this is radical. You know, if those shows just get you, maybe you need to cancel your subscription to the service. And let me tell you, if you live in a house where somebody is struggling with that, and you're just like, well, just watch better things like I do, like the Yankees. Sorry, just joking. You should see the commercials. Help them. You are not going to die because you don't have cable in your house. You are not going to die by canceling your Netflix account. Let me get more radical. You're not going to die by canceling your internet if you need to. You are going to be uninformed. You know? But you're not going to die. Matter of fact, most people who have ever lived on this earth never had those things. Realize that? So I don't know what you need to do. I don't know where you need to go. I don't know what owns you. See, that's a private thing. And we're more private than ever. Like if you wanted to even pick up really bad stuff, you used to have to go out and buy it in public. You don't have to do that anymore. You can hide in your bedroom with your little device and nobody will know what you're watching. Oh, wait, God will know. And make no mistake about it, he does know. And by the way, Satan knows too. And Satan's smiling and God is not. And maybe there are times that we just need to push it aside and get rid of it. And instead, I'm not just talking, right? This is not just a bummer. Just get rid of it. Repent. I mean, you might need to start with repentance, but then fill with the things of God. Put the things of God inside of you and dwell on those things. This is one of the best reasons to go to a Bible study, is because it helps you then to dwell with other people. Well, I'm not good at reading the Bible. Okay. So, like when people tell me that, I'm like, well, why aren't you in a Bible study then? I mean, you should be, because a lot of those people aren't. Some of those people aren't, I should say. Right? Why? So that you can dwell together on the things of God, so that when you walk out of there and then think about those things and talk about those things. And what's great about technology and our little device is that we can start chat groups, you know, text groups and different all kinds of apps for all kinds of chats that don't have to be of the things that aren't of God, but can be of the things of God. Let's be about God and his business and all that he is. What we're going to do, because I'm going to pray at the end of my sermon, and I'm going to pray in a second to start a time of prayer, is we're in our 28 days of prayer, and we're just going to go into a time of prayer. We're just going to go into this. And, you know, we've asked on our, put up those five things, Gary, that we're asking you to really concentrate on during this time. Right? A clearer focus, a deeper relationship. A clearer focus means of what you're focusing. You see that? Right? A deeper relationship both with God and others, and a wider influence. And I know the pray for the one number five is there, but that really is about that wider influence. But it starts with the acknowledgement that we need God in that influence, right? So I'm going to start with prayer, and then I'm going to end prayer, because what we're going to do is we're going to pray right now. And if God's leading you to pray, please pray. And I challenged you last week, you know, you don't have to be afraid of what you say. Just pray. What you're going to do is you're going to raise your hand, and then Ann or Brian is going to give you a microphone. You can even raise your hand while somebody else is praying. It's okay, because when they stop, then you can start praying. You'll have a mic. And we won't have lag time, right? Or at least they'll be closer to you. So raise them high. And let's go before God. And let's ask them, you know, again, in a sense, we ask God to give us this stuff, right? But he has given us everything we need for this. Let's join in. So let's join into him. Let's join into what he's doing. Let's join into his heart for us. And we do need his spirit to do that. So I'm going to open, like I said, I'm going to pray right now. And then I'll end with the amen at the end of that. But pray with us. Join with us and pray out. And we'll say the amen with you. Father God, I love you. Lord, we're reminded even by today's sermon that we are in desperate need of you. Desperate, desperate need of you. Father, would you help us? Lord, it starts with us coming before you and laying out our lives as a holy sacrifice before you. God, Lord, we want to do that today again. We want to be a people who are fully devoted to Jesus, a people who are fully given over to you. But that doesn't mean just on Sunday morning between 10 and 11:30. It means every moment of our lives. So God, would you be with us as we seek your face to honor you?